everybody. Welcome in to a special episode of the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. It's me and Will. It's Instant Reaction. We may not be 100% sober, but the Final Four is over. The national championship is set. It's UConn. It's Purdue. It's Will Smith. It's Sean Rowe. How we doing, Will?
Shawnee, some hell of a games today. It was crazy. They were all close for a while, and then, you know, things happened. They were great games to watch. Just watching UConn from start to finish. Jesus Christ, they're a wagon. We'll get into them later. But let's start with Purdue, NC State.
Let's do it. So I will be fully transparent with you that I was at a friend's going away party. I missed the first half, and then I also missed the majority of the second half. So I will be absolutely acquiescing to you. So please tell me, Will.
Okay, so I watched this whole game today.
What did Purdue do that NC State couldn't combat?
So NC State had no answer for Zach Edey, which most teams don't. Not that he put up the numbers that he usually does, but it's just his dominant presence down low. Burns had no answer down low, and you know you got to protect that guy at all costs. All the things he says in media, that guy's hilarious. Smoothest footwork out of the biggest man I've ever seen, weight wise. But you know he had no answer for Edey down low. Also, NC State couldn't hit a layup, couldn't hit a bucket. It just was a bad. The Cinderella story comes to an end, in my opinion. But just Purdue did what they had to do. It was close for a long time. But it just at the end of the day, it was too much Zach Edey and too much of Purdue. And that's really all it is. You know, Horn had a good day, but he had a bad day shooting. I mean, Purdue shoots 37%. It wasn't a good not Purdue. NC State shot 37%. It just wasn't a good day for the Wolfpack. They matched up with a team that matches up 10 times better than they do, height-wise, athleticism-wise. It's just Horn and Burn against the guards of Purdue and Zach Edey. And, you know, when you don't have the big guys match up with Zach Edey, it's going to be a long day. And it was just NC State chasing their tail the whole day.
Okay, so my takeaways. NC State, they missed a lot of easy shots, particularly in the second half.
Yes.
And they had a chance to make this an actual game. And maybe that was the Edey effect. Maybe it was a fatigue effect. I don't know what it was, but that was not the same NC State team that we saw, you know, pretty much for the last 4 weeks. It was the team that we saw in the previous seven. As far as Purdue goes, you know, Edey seems to have mastered the hook shot. And if he's able to make a low post hook shot without getting fouled, deep and within the post where, you know, if you slash at him and claw at him, he's going to probably draw the call. If he's able to do that outside of the circle, that's a really tough proposition for the opponent. DJ Horn was awesome. He seemed to be the only offense that NC State had. And Will, I will tell you this, they might have cut it close to about 5. Or 7 or 8. I never thought that they were going to end up making a run to win this game. This was a Purdue wagon, and they are one game away from being vindicated for their absolute shit show of a performance that was last year and the year before.
Yeah, 100%. No, I couldn't be – you couldn't be more right with what you said. And the only thing with Edey, it's crazy. For a guy that just shoots balls right by the rim all the time, even if you foul him, he's hitting at least 1 for 2 from the line, if not 2 for 2. He's a very good free throw shooter for a guy that's 7 foot 4, which is crazy. Say again?
Can I make a quick comp?
Absolutely.
He's become Giannis. Giannis used to be absolutely fretful of the free throw line. And deep in the playoffs, it was an issue for him. You even had the opponents doing the countdown of 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it gave him shit until it didn't. And I feel like Edey used to be that, maybe not with the public outcry on it, but he was a problem, and now he's not. And that's a huge advantage for Purdue.
100%. And that's, you know, and we talk about Edey at the next level, and you know, you're 7'4", and, you know, a team will take a waiver on him. He's not going to be a top 10 pick, obviously. But if you're such a good free throw shooter, which Edie is at 7'4", he's got to learn that free throw jumper, the elbow jumper, to be good at the next level. Because at this game in college, you know, you're going to dominate all these guys that are 6'11", even seven footers. You're going to dominate them. But you're going to go up against a guy that's 7'1", that can shoot three-pointers in the NBA. You're going to have to play against Wembanyama. Like, you're going to tell me that Edie's going to stay with him on the perimeter? There's no shot that he does. So he needs to develop that game long term. But going back to this, this is what Purdue needs. And then we go back into our next game. But Purdue has their hands full coming up next. And that's a game that I'm going to let you wax poetically on. UConn, the Huskies, the Wagon, whatever you want to call them, flip the switch. UConn takes down Alabama. Sean, go for it.
They did. And it took a while to get there, Will. I got to tell you what, I was getting very frustrated with how many threes Alabama was hitting, particularly Sears. You know, I thought that the UConn guards were going to do a better job on Sears, comparable to what they did on Terrence Shannon, and they didn't. And I give the Alabama guards, him and Estrada, a lot of credit. But, you know, ultimately, Stephon Castle, I mean, have a fucking night. He made two threes in his first three attempts early when the floor was wide open, because Alabama clearly said, you know, we're going to let you shoot. And rightfully so, because it evened out and he shouldn't have taken as many threes as he did. But once he started driving, you know, they had a couple of offensive rebounds where Cam Spencer, he got one and then drove it back to the three-point line and drained a three. Their three-point ball was not shooting well at all, Will. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for Donovan Klingon's dominance, they probably would have been in a deeper hole than they were. And I say deeper hole, meaning that they were only up by four at the half. But, you know, UConn did what UConn does. And you think about it, right? And now we have the championship game that everybody's clamoring for, right?
You Absolutely.
Got against Donovan Klingon. You get the UConn guards against the Purdue guards. And I think finally for UConn fans and for people who don't quite put UConn in the club of the others, and again, I will say that you don't agree with that, and Tom doesn't agree with that, and I don't agree with that, but there are people that agree that UConn's not quite there with the Kentuckys and the Kansases and the Dukes and the Carolinas, but there will be no conversation after Monday night if they seem to beat Purdue that they didn't get the toughest opponent in the tournament. And for that, I'm at least excited.
Absolutely. And this is the first thing. You know, we talked about it a long time on this podcast, regardless if it's me being a guest or now me being a member. UConn's a blue blood. They're definitely a blue blood. Last 2 years, they've been the most dominant team in college basketball. And it's on a 2-year span. And I was telling the other guys tonight that I was watching the game with. And, you know, in my lifetime, I'm 34 years old. I have never seen a more dominant college basketball team in my lifetime, minus maybe the Kentucky team that lost to Wisconsin when they were undefeated. You know, you have to go back to the Florida years when they won back-to-back, but we were young at the time. But, you know, what UConn did last year, and it just continues. UConn still wins another game by 13-plus points in the tournament. It's just unbelievable. You don't see anything like this. You can't predict anything like this. I have to give my flowers to Alabama. Obviously, Sears had an absolute day for them, but they had no answer for the guys down low, Klingon and Caravan. They had no answer. But it just proves that what UConn wants to do is we're going to beat you. Whatever way we want to beat you, we're going to beat you that way. And it was just a crazy thing. And it took a little longer. I bring it up. That's my saying, flip the switch. They flipped the switch, but it took about maybe to the 12-minute mark of the second half for UConn to be like, we're significantly better than this team. Let's just run away and hide. And that's what they did. And, you know, towards the end, even when the shot clock was winding down, UConn was taking that long possession. We're going to waste the 30 seconds. And boom, three. Boom, three. boom, three. Like, it was just like, we're just playing with our food here, but we're going to eat this food.
Yeah, and it's funny because as dominant as they've been, they really haven't shot the ball from the three-point line that well in this tournament, right? Like, that was something that they really held their hats on, but they didn't do it in this tournament so far. And they made some opportunistic ones for sure, right? Like, I can think of Spencer making one when they were up three. I can think of Newton making one when they were up three. I could think of a momentum one. But it's been much more of clinging, and I just don't think they're going to have that advantage in the Purdue game. So, Will, you know, we're going to do this early, but while neither of us are super succinct into this matchup on Monday night, but just early instincts, gut reaction, where are you leaning for UConn Purdue?
I mean, you have to lean towards UConn. They haven't even shown a weakness in any aspect of the game. You said the three ball, it has been a problem for them in the tournament. But I watched all the UConn games. When they need a three, they hit a three. When they don't need a three, obviously they don't hit them. But when they need that big three, they're going to hit that three. But the thing with Purdue, obviously Zachy, you know, AP Player of the Year, he's obviously an issue. But you have the Klingon to match with him. He has athleticism. And this goes back to the Alabama game. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing about that. Like, how many times are you going to go up in the paint and get your shot blocked every single time by these guys? Like, it's crazy. It's just how athletic UConn is. That's the one factor. And minus the guard play, I think the guard play for UConn is definitely better than the Purdue guards. I'm going to have to give the big man just a little bit of an edge because Zach Edey, back-to-back, you know, player of the year for Purdue. Yeah, I'll give him a little bit of edge there. But, like, it's just, I think at the end of the day, UConn's athleticism is going to wear down Purdue. Zach Edey played 40 minutes today against NC State. 40 minutes for a guy that's 7'4" running up and down the court. That's not
why
easy.
Why didn't they pull him, dude?
I would have rested him when they were up, you know, they were up 13 at one point. They had to do it. You know, even if NC State hits three threes and, you know, it's a 4-point game, then bring him back. You know, we got a 3-minute rest on the bench. But, you know, that's what Purdue does, and he played 40 minutes. But it's going to be one hell of a game. And this is the national championship that we all hope for. You know, you look at the teams and, you know, you go back to December. You look at, oh, wow, UConn's really good. Even with not even, you know, Castle's hurt. You know, you lose to Kansas. I had to say it because we beat you. But, you know, you lose to Kansas in Lawrence, one of the toughest places to play. And then you didn't even lose that bad without one of your best players when Kansas was fully healthy. You lose to Seton Hall, where Seton Hall just shoots lights out from every aspect of the game, twos, threes, whatever you want to put it. You lose to that. Yeah, Purdue losing Ohio State. It's just one of those things. But these two teams have been the most consistent teams all year, and this is what you want to see in a national championship game. Like, obviously, you love the NC State run or whatever, but if NC State beats Purdue, like, everybody in the country knows, regardless if you're from the Connecticut area, the boarding areas, or whatever, everybody knows that this game is going to be a 30-point game. But now with Purdue there, this game is going to be competitive down to the wire, and there's no way that UConn wins by 13-plus. There's no way, because this game is going to be close. Purdue's looking for that comeback season after losing to Fairleigh Dickinson last year to come back and show that they're the best team in the country.
I agree with you every single word that you said. I mean, hey, listen, you know, part of me wishes NC State won, but they didn't. And listen, UConn has had in their history having to beat the best team in their way. Sometimes they've gotten lucky where they haven't, but in other years they've had to. You know, the Duke 2004 team, that was the Final Four game that probably should have been the national championship game.
Yep, 100%.
You know, 99, obviously their first title, they beat Duke with a loaded Duke team of Elton Brand and Battier and Trajan Langdon. And, yeah, it just should go all down the line. But I will tell you this, Will. UConn in this game, and I don't like to do this, but I'm going to. They got the shit out of the stick on the whistle. And
definitely did. They definitely did for sure.
If Purdue seems to get the love of the whistle the way that fucking you look at Alabama get, I'm not interested in that. And that might be a deciding factor because Alabama got the whistle a couple of times, but they weren't able to capitalize. Purdue might. And I think that Hurley was on them and appropriately and saying, listen, I don't know what more obstacles we have to persevere, but y'all are making this really hard. So
absolutely. And like, you know, Tom said, you know, we're texting, whatever, just wait. Hurley is on the sidelines. Like, that's what you want out of coach. I'm not going to say anything because I love my coach, Bill Self, but like, you know, he's mad. He's mad when the guy misses a back cut. But, like, also, you know, they hit a big three at the end of the game when they're up 10. They make it like a 13-point game. And he puts the three fingers up, like, celebrating. You got to love that. When you're mad at one thing because the guy doesn't do the fundamentals is a massive thing as a coach. And these players don't respect a guy more than Hurley. And it's crazy to see. They got this new UConn nation pumped up. And even you could hear on the TV the UConn chants. It's unbelievable.
They're how in big Arizona, this, by the way.
What'd you say?
I said they're in Arizona.
Exactly. But you still hear the UConn chants. It's just this fan base has come alive, and it's the Hurley factor. It's not the – like, obviously, you get the great players there. But having a coach like Hurley brings this all together. And, like, he's not satisfied. I can guarantee he goes in that press conference later and says, we could have played better. We didn't shoot the three ball well. We got to play better if we want to win the national championship. You just won the – you just –
every game, including the Illinois game where they went on a 30-0 run.
Yeah, it's like if we want to beat Purdue, we got to be better. You just won in the Final Four by more than 13 points for what, the 13th consecutive time? Like – and he's not even happy. That's what you want out of a coach. And if you're a player, you want to run through a wall for this guy.
Okay. One more to go. Your pick.
I mean, this is going to be – I can't go against the wagon. I can't go against the wagon of UConn. They're going back-to-back. They're going back-to-back. It's going to be a closer game than the 13 points that UConn beats everybody by 13-plus, as I'm going to say. But I think UConn wins by about 7 when we get down to the final game. I think it's going to be like a 4-point game. Purdue misses a bad 3, and then it's going to get to the Fallon game. It'll get up to the 7. I think UConn wins this game like 77-70.
Take it.
I mean, you just got to say, like, nobody can beat this team. And
I don't know that. That's the problem.
It might be that thing.
For at least one more game, Will.
Yeah, it might be that thing where it's a 4-point game at halftime. UConn's up 4. And then would you be surprised that UConn's up 12 with 8 minutes left? I wouldn't be.
Against Purdue, I kind of would.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been saying all year about UConn. And then they're beating teams in the Elite Eight. They're beating teams in the Final Four. They're beating teams in the Sweet 16 by 30. It's crazy.
Neither of them are Purdue.
Yes, 100%. You're 100% right. But it's going to be one hell of a championship game. And you couldn't ask for anything more as a college basketball fan to get two of the best teams, I think, in my opinion, the 1 and 2 teams in the country playing each other.
It's the game you want. It's the game I want as, you know, the validation of everybody that says UConn only gets these cheap championships. We finally get the real Goliath. And what's funny is, you and I and Tom, when he hops on this pod, might consider UConn the Goliath. I think everybody else considers us David. I think everybody else considers Purdue Goliath because they have Zach Edey. And nobody even knows who Donovan Klingon is outside of the people who actually watch college basketball. So we'll find out. I'm nervous and I don't know if destiny's on Purdue's side or I don't know if destiny's on Dan Hurley's side. All I know is Monday night's going to be a fucking fun one, man.
It's going to be electric, and I can't wait for it. And, you know, people will know Donovan Klingon's name if he shuts down Zach Edey. If he shuts down Zach Edey, which nobody has done this year, then people are going to know who Donovan Klingon is. But I can't wait for this game. You have great guard matchup. You have great big man matchup. You have two athletic teams. You have the AP Player of the Year. You have the guy that should have won the Big East Player of the Year, and Tristan Newton. You have Castle. You can name it all.
Hey, he didn't win Big East Player of the Year, but he is the Bob Cousy Award winner.
Also an All-American too, which is weird. So whatever, you know, I don't get a vote. Me and Sean don't get a vote, but that's fine. I can't wait till Monday night. It's going to be electric. But I got to switch to something. I have a cousin, Chris Fogan, big Gamecocks guy. Went to South Carolina. I gotta give some love to the Lady Gamecocks. 37-0 going to the championship in women's basketball to play the Fighting Caitlin Clarks with unbelievable game against NC State. That game was close for two quarters, and then it was over with Cardosa just going off in the post. That beautiful Brazilian, she's of age, obviously, I could say that, but beautiful Brazilian just dominating in the post. There's no answer for her. I don't think Iowa will have an answer for her, but the question is, does South Carolina have an answer for Caitlin Clark? That's the question. UConn showed that thing, and they shut down Caitlin Clark. When I say shut down Caitlin Clark, she had 21 points, but they shut her down. They were triple-teaming Caitlin Clark. The thing for Iowa is they need to find another second or third person to score the points. They don't need 20. They don't need 25. They need about 15 to 16 points to help Caitlin Clark out so she doesn't get triple teamed. That's the thing. That's going to be one hell of a national championship with South Carolina and Iowa. Hopefully Iowa gets the revenge after losing to LSU and getting blown out. They got the revenge with Caitlin Clark absolutely going off. I don't know what LSU was doing, guarding her with one person and just letting her shoot from the logo, because you know she's going to make it, Sean. I mean, you know she's going to make it. She's the female Steph Curry. But I got to give a shout out to the Gamecocks, though. 37-0. It's just unbelievable. Nobody's come close except for Tennessee in the SEC championship game that they won on a buzzer beater on.
Yeah, I mean, what do you have to say? I mean, South Carolina, I mean, you want to talk about UConn being a wagon on the men's side. Amplify that by 10, and that's what South Carolina is. I will tell you this. I tried to watch that USC and NC State game, and it lasted 20 minutes, and South Carolina ran the fuck away with it, which, hey, I give them a lot of credit for. Obviously, they're the best team in the country, undefeated, all that good stuff. And Dawn Staley, I mean, the culture she's built at that program is second to none. However, the main event on the undercard was UConn and Iowa. And UConn should have won that game. However, I will say this, and I'm completely honest. I watched it in real time. That was an offensive foul. It shouldn't have been called then because it was really never called the rest of the game. So if that's not called with 10 minutes left, with 4 minutes left, it shouldn't be called with, what was it, 31 seconds left. But UConn lost. And I give this UConn team so much credit because Paige Beckers finally came back from all of these injuries and all of this heartbreak. And they were basically playing seven players, and really six by the time they were playing. And you look at the effort that they put in. They also landed the number one recruit in the country. And please forgive me for forgetting her name today. There's just so much going on. I really can't remember everything. But they landed the number one recruit in women's college basketball today. So Paige is back next year. They're going to bring in the number one recruit in the country. That's a great thing for UConn women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, in the meantime, is going to get a chance to maybe upset the number one team in the country and maybe pull off one of the greatest upsets, because even though Caitlin Clark is not an upset on her own, if anybody is following the women's game, you realize how dominant South Carolina has been. This would truly be an undertaking. And I think everybody's in for a treat on ABC tomorrow. And, you know, women's college basketball has arrived, and it's not only arrived, it's kind of in one of the best places that you could possibly be. 12.3 million people tuned in to Iowa LSU the other night. And I think that's amazing. So let's keep it going.
Absolutely.
watching. And then Monday night, we get Purdue-UConn, which I think if anybody, even as a casual, is tuning into the men's, you get two of the best teams in the country, probably the two best teams in the country, ready to go.
Absolutely. The only thing I have to say about the going back to the women's game is, you know, we talked about that. It was a foul. I agree with you 100%, Sean. And, you know, at my thing, you know, you have, what, 31 seconds left, whatever it was. You got to let the girls play there. It was very close to being a regular screen. Obviously, she was moving at the end. That is a foul. Yes, it is. But don't let that determine the outcome of a game. But, like, we talked about it, too. Does UConn make that shot? Maybe they don't. Maybe they brick it, and then Iowa gets the ball. Caitlin Carr gets fouled, hits two free throws. The game's over anyway. But, like, if they hit that shot, then it's a tie game. Then it makes Iowa have to hit that shot. Maybe that game goes into overtime.
It's a huge three, right, that put them in the position to do that, right? And she is such an amazing player. Mm-hmm. Dealt with her own injuries, too. So you think it's like, hey, you either get it in Knoll or Becker's hands, and you're in a good position. But
absolutely. It comes down to the thing. And like, it
didn't happen at that moment. But it was a foul.
It was definitely a foul. But, like, you're watching that game. I watched the whole game. And, like, UConn just maybe gave a blueprint for South Carolina to how to shut down Caitlin Clark, because UConn did an amazing job shutting her down.
I don't think South Carolina's going to have an issue at all.
I don't think they are either.
I think their defense is poised and ready to go. And Dawn Staley is a strategist, is probably the best in the country, up there with Geno. And I think she's going to put her girls in the best position to, hey, no one's going to neutralize Caitlin Clark, but they might be able to get her to 21 again, which Geno did. And if that happens, South Carolina might win by 30.
Absolutely. And that's a crazy thing. And, you know, now that we're talking about women's basketball, which where it has been in the last, I would say, half a decade, you know, literally the last time I watched women's college basketball before the last 3 years was when Diana Taurasi played for those UConn teams, when Gina Auriemma wasn't even losing a game and UConn was just running the table. But now there's 5, 6, 7 teams that can win a national championship in women's basketball. It was never like that before. It was UConn and everybody else, and maybe a Tennessee team with Pat Summitt, RIP. But, like, that is what women's basketball is. Now it's fun to watch it. I can't wait to tune into this game tomorrow on ABC to see South Carolina and Caitlin Clark and Iowa face off. And this is going to be one hell of a game. You know, do they have an answer for Cardoza? Do they have an answer for Caitlin Clark? It's going to be both ways going back and forth. And then that leads us into Monday night to see Purdue and UConn, the bigs, the guards. Is it going to be back and forth? Is UConn going to flip the switch? Is it going to be the wagon we've seen all year? Or does Purdue have that magic that they're going to lose to a 16 seed last year, and then they're going to win the national championship game? It's so hard to go back-to-back in men's college basketball, but we're going to see it. Can UConn do it? Can they be the first team since the 06-07 Florida Gators to do it? And you know what? If they do it, listen, if there's any blue blood talk that UConn's not a blue blood, I don't want to fucking hear it, because UConn is the blue bloods. They're the Dukes. They're the North Carolinas. They're the Kentuckys. They're the Kansases. UConn is right there with them.
Fuck you. That was the best rant of podcasting. And there's nothing I can follow up with. So everybody, just listen to Will. Just fucking listen to Will. This is why you're a mainstay and no longer a guest. We'll be talking on Monday for a rundown. Prior to the national championship game, we will also obviously be talking about the women's national championship game between Iowa and South Carolina. And Will, I mean, for fuck's sakes, just hold a little bit in. You're too good right now. You're too hot.
Dude, I have enough. I have enough, but I got to give a shout out to our CEO, Tommy B. I know he's going to take the over, the Caitlin Clark points in the national championship, and I'm going to ride with him. Because Caitlin Clark is going to go off. She's got to put up 40 for Iowa to have a chance against a 37-0 Lady Gamecocks.
My favorite part about CEO is he's texting us during this pod and being like, I'm going to have to sift through what I'm going to have to cut out. He doesn't have to cut out a goddamn thing. Will, We just did it. It's a Final Four recap. It's a national championship preview. UConn, Purdue, South Carolina, Iowa on the women's side. We are looking forward to bringing you everything, and the Masters are next weekend. Will, we will be talking soon. The CEO, don't worry, you're just fine. Will, everybody, thank you for listening.
We'll be back. Have a good night, boys.